Brother Arjean Adams. He will be speaking on the past and future of the temple lot in Jackson County, Missouri. Brother Adams is an independent researcher in the early history of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who lives in Woodinville, Washington. He is past president of the John Whitmer Historical Association, a member of the Mormon History Association, and the Sons of Utah Pioneers. He is the author of this very pleasantly appointed volume, Upon the Temple Lot, the Church of Christ's Quest to Build the House of the Lord. Brother Adams, may I remind you again, if you have questions that you wish to direct to Brother Adams, you are welcome to send them at conference-questions@interpreterfoundation.org. Brother Adams.
Good morning. Thank you for that generous introduction, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. As you can tell from the heading here that my subject is the past and future of the Temple Lot in Independence, Jackson County, Missouri. Prior to the first Mormon missionaries arriving in Independence, Jackson County, in January 1831, there was a series of events orchestrated over time by the Lord to prepare the Temple Lot property for purchase by a representative of his recently restored church. I will review these circumstances and the arrival of Joseph Smith in Independence in 1831, July. Mention the prophet's prepared drawings of the future temple and the city of Zion, and then briefly discuss the occurrences following the expulsion of the church from Jackson County. As the church struggled with revelatory mandates given to Joseph Smith regarding the redemption of Zion, efforts to redeem Zion became a significant part of the trials of the church. This determination to return to Jackson County and redeem Zion became more complicated with the murder of Joseph Smith in June 1844. And with the advent of the of schisms within the original church following the martyrdom of the prophet. Three of these churches, viable today, will be examined as each went about their independent ways to facilitate the redemption of Zion. Each church hoped to reclaim the original dedicated Temple Lot property and to build the Millennial Temple. I will conclude with a look at the individual expectations that they each had in regards to the future of the Temple Lot. But first, we must learn a little bit about the organization of Jackson County and early settler Jones Flournoy. With the completion of the U.S. government survey of land within the proposed boundaries of Jackson County, the Missouri legislature organized the county in December 1826. 3 months later, in March 1827, a small frontier village named Independence was selected as the county seat. However, the anticipated government sale of the recently surveyed land did not occur for at least another 2 years, November 1828. This unexplained delay was a major frustration to the early squatters or settlers, many of whom had pioneered in the area as early as 1821. For everyone's information, the squatter was simply an individual who selected a piece of public land, often referred to as the public domain, and then settled or squatted upon it and waited for the opportunity to buy it from the government. When the government sale was finally announced, many of the early squatters of Jackson County were now informed that their squatters' claims were on seminary land. And again, for our information, seminary sections were transferred to the state by the U.S. government at the time of the state's admission to the Union. The purpose was to provide funds for the creation of a state university. Without explanation, 60% of the 72 sections designated by Congress for Missouri were set aside within Jackson County. Furthermore, these squatters were also advised that Missouri was allowed to hold these sections for an unspecified period and to set the minimum price per acre. Adding to this disappointment, the Missouri legislature announced that the minimum price per acre was to be $2 rather than the U.S. government announced price of $1.25 per acre. No date for the seminary land sale was made at that time. Jones H. Flournoy was one of those early 1820s squatters in what became Independence, Jackson County. This is his home, which was miraculously preserved and sits to the north of the Temple Lot property today. By the late 1820s, Flournoy was a well-known supplier and trader for Santa Fe traffic and the postmaster of Independence. His squatter's claim would play a vital role in the acquisition of the Temple Lot property. But to understand why, we must first talk about the arrival of the Mormons in Jackson County in 1831. The early missionaries of the Restored Church preached a gospel heavily punctuated with a millenarian spirit. That is, that the prophesied return of Christ to the earth and the commencement of his millennial reign were imminent. And this was also part of what was referred to in the United States as the Second Great Awakening. In answer to prayerful inquiry by Smith in 1830 regarding where the New Jerusalem or City of Zion was to be located, he was told, quote, "No man knoweth where the City of Zion shall be built. Behold, I say unto you, it shall be on the borders by the Lamanites." This geographical reference was understood to mean west of the state of Missouri. Four men were designated as missionaries and began their journey west in late October 1830. On February 9th, 1831, soon after Smith had relocated the church to Kirtland, Ohio, the Lord proclaimed, quote, "The time shall come when it shall be revealed, when the city of the New Jerusalem shall be prepared." In mid-June 1831, Joseph Smith left for Independence. He and his party arrived in mid-July. Soon after his arrival, Smith received a revelation that designated the small village of Independence as the center place of what was to be the future city of Zion. Independence at that time had a population of between 200 and 300 people, a small courthouse, 3 stores, 15 or 20 houses, and at least 2 taverns. The revelation further specified that a spot for the temple is lying westward upon a lot which is not far from the courthouse. Upon his arrival, Smith would have been briefed on the availability and the unavailability of land ownership in Independence in Jackson County, and of the seminary land designation and its impact on Independence and its surrounding area, as the town, as I pointed out before, was surrounded by seminary sections, and Jackson County had so many besides. The long delay experienced by these early settlers in acquiring their squatters' claims and the significant increase from $1.25 to $2 per acre would have also been explained. The fact that the state of Missouri owned these unsold seminary lands and that these sections were undeveloped except for farming and the original dwellings of the squatters allows us to see the guiding hand of the Lord in preserving the spot for a temple. Smith would have also been informed that the long-awaited sale of seminary land by the state had finally been announced for December of 1831. Prior to the dedication of that spot for a temple, having ascertained its approximate location, Smith and Bishop Partridge would have sought out Jones H. Flournoy as the rightful squatter or claimant of the land they wished to purchase from him at a later date. Certainly, they would have obtained permission to proceed onto his claimed property for their planned event. This is a map, a drawing of the structures on the temple lot between the period of time 1832-33. But the point I wanted to make here with the red arrow is that that's the high point of the property of the eventual purchase by Partridge from Flournoy in December 1831. So they would have wandered onto the lot, and that's the approximate location where Joseph Smith and others would have had their dedicatory ceremony. On August 3rd, those privileged to be part of the dedicatory ceremony would have worked their way through the brush and the trees to the highest spot on the property, as I've got indicated here. This location was approximately 2 blocks west of his home and about a half a block southwest of his abandoned trading post on the Santa Fe Trail. And as you can see, the road that goes along that makes the pie shape is the Santa Fe Trail, subsequently known as the Westport Road, and today it's Lexington. This is the dedication plaque that is in the sidewalk in Independence near the location where the event would have taken place. As you can see here, there's 8 men pictured, which is a traditional rendering, but notice the sister there with 2 children and a baby in her arms, which is probably more realistic. Once Smith had located the spot for the temple, he placed a stone at the northeast corner of the contemplated millennial temple in the name of the Lord Jesus of Nazareth. This brief ceremony and service was the culminating event for Smith, for which he had traveled 900 miles to accomplish, and I might add 900 miles to go back. Today, this is the marker that sits on the Church of Christ property in Independence that tells you here the marker at the top of the stairs, the original marker stones and the historical count are inside their visitor centers. But I thought this would be a good one just for us to kind of get a feel for where this all is. On August the 9th, a few days later, Smith and party left Independence for the return trip to Kirtland. Bishop Edward Partridge was instructed to preside over the church in Jackson County. As a priority, he was also to complete the acquisition of the temple lot property from Flournoy in December. And, as planned, Jones Flournoy purchased his 160-acre squatter's claim on December the 12th, 1831, for $320. 1 week later, on December 19th, Partridge purchased from Flournoy a 63.27-acre parcel, which included the dedicated temple site, for $130. Although the July revelation that we previously talked about had contained instructions about where the location of the temple for the city of Zion was to be, no description of the manner in which the temple should be built was provided until 2 years later in June of 1833. At that time, Joseph Smith and his counselors received a vision which they viewed the plans for the Kirtland Temple, carefully observing its structure and design. Although the presidency's vision specifically addressed the Kirtland Temple, the Independence Temple, the plan, that is remarkably similar in window layout, floor plan, and interior details. A few weeks after the vision, a sketch of the Independence Temple and the plan for the city of Zion were mailed to the saints in Missouri. This is the original sketch provided by the brethren in Kirtland, signed in the bottom left corner, bottom right corner by Frederick G. Williams, of what the temple was to look like. And those of you that are familiar with the Kirtland Temple, you'll certainly see the similarities. And this is the side view, complete with its 19 windows of the temple drawing. And third, this is the city of Zion plat. And in the center is where the 24 temples are at its center, as I mentioned. Most of them dedicated for church administration by the various priesthood quorums. According to Smith, the city as a whole was supposed to contain 15 to 20,000 people with sufficient farmland to supply the residents' need outside the city on the north and south sides. Unfortunately, the citizens of Jackson County met on July 20th, 1833 to deal with their, quote, Mormon problem. Sadly, the meeting culminated in the destruction of the church press and other deprivations. The situation in Independence and throughout the county continued to worsen over the next several months, and by early November, 1,200 saints were driven out of the county. And so the redemption of Zion begins. With the forced exodus and abandonment of the temple lot property, a great concern was manifest by church leaders regarding the dedicated site for the millennial temple. The physical return to independence and the reacquisition of that 63-acre parcel became and continues to be a part of the ongoing history of this sacred space. Joseph Smith was advised of the July troubles in Jackson County by Oliver Cowdery upon his return to Kirtland in mid-August 1833. 2 months later, Smith received what must have been an unsettling revelation while he and Sidney Rigdon were on a brief mission to Perrysburg, New York. Quote, "And now I give unto you a word concerning Zion. Zion shall be redeemed, although she is chastened for a little season." 4 months later, in February 1834, Parley P. Pratt and Lyman White arrived in Kirtland to advise Joseph Smith of the pitiful situation of church members now in Clay County, they having been forcibly driven from their homes the previous November. Shortly thereafter, on February 24, 1834, Smith announced, quote, that the redemption of Zion must needs come by power. Led by Smith, the church responded with a recruitment effort to redeem Zion. Under his direction, approximately 200 men assembled at New Portage, Ohio, and departed on May the 8th, 1834, for Jackson County. This quasi-military organization has since been known as Zion's Camp. 6 weeks later, however, while encamped on the banks of the Fishing River in Clay County, word was received that there would be no assistance from Missouri Governor Dunklin, as had been promised and anticipated in facilitating their efforts to regain their lost holdings in Jackson County. Shortly thereafter, on June the 22nd, 1834, Smith received further revelation. Quote, "Therefore, in consequence of the transgressions of my people, it is expedient in me that mine elders should wait for a little season for the redemption of Zion." Zion's Camp was officially disbanded on June 30, 1834. So the redemption of Zion is postponed. After a four-year effort to strengthen the church in Northwest Missouri, the saints soon found themselves once again contesting with their neighbors, which, unfortunately, resulted in the October 1838 infamous extermination order of Governor Lilburn W. Boggs. With the church's departure, the near-term hope of redeeming Zion was replaced with a, quote, "delayed expectation." That is, that the church would have to wait for a little season for the redemption of Zion. Regrouping in Nauvoo, Illinois, the church prospered for a season. However, after the murder of Joseph Smith in June 1844 at Carthage, the church struggled over the question of leadership. Several men, besides Brigham Young, claimed the deceased Smith's prophetic mantle, some of whom attracted a large number of adherents. However, as the claims of these various individuals faded, two significant new alliances developed in the Midwest. First, the Church of Christ, and second, the New Organization. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, under the direction of Brigham Young, soon made plans for a near-term departure to the Great Basin of the American West. And so the redemption of Zion begins again. The first church, with Mormon roots to stake a claim in independence after the exodus from Missouri in 1838-1839, was the Church of Christ, which assumed the original name of the church. Beginning in the winter of 1852, scattered members located in north central Illinois began to meet together at the home of local leader Granville Hedrick, an elder and the original church. Several years later, Hedrick published a revelation in the 1864 July issue of The Truth Teller, the church's periodical, which stated that he had been told by a heavenly messenger that the church was, quote, to gather together upon the consecrated land, which I have appointed and dedicated by my servant, Joseph Smith. When church members relocated to Independence in 1867, they discovered that the city had annexed the temple property. This is what's known as a bird's eye view of Independence in 1868. This is only 1 year, and very coincidental, after the Church of Christ members arrived from Illinois. The arrow at the top up there points to the bend in the Santa Fe Trail, and the inset is to the high right corner, showing some of the original buildings still existing on the temple lot property from the 1830s. A second group of scattered saints emerged under the early leadership of Jason W. Briggs and Zenas H. Gurley Sr., also in 1852. They reported revelations directing them to reject all claimants to the prophetic mission of the church's founder. The language of the revelation to Briggs stated, quote, in mine own due time will I call upon the seed of Joseph Smith. Both men proclaimed that Joseph Smith's successor would be Joseph Smith's eldest son, Joseph Smith III. 8 years later, in March 1860, Joseph Smith III accepted the position of church president. Smith wrote to William Marx, quote, I'm soon going to take my father's place as head of the Mormon Church. In 1866, the new organization changed its name to the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Having early rejected Hedrick's 1864 revelation to return to Jackson County, in January 1877, Smith announced a reversal of policy. Quote, he announced, we now state that we are decidedly of the opinion that those who may so desire can move into that state, Missouri, in safety. In the Independence area, the RLDS membership grew rapidly in the late 1870s and the 1880s. Although those who followed Brigham Young to the Great Basin realized that Zion, that's Jackson County, would be far from their new settlement in what became Utah Territory, the redemption of Zion remained a serious concern. Young had addressed this concern 4 months prior to the departure of the First Pioneer Company from winter quarters. On January 14, 1847, Young was told by revelation, quote, to go thy way and do as I have told you. Zion shall be redeemed in mine own due time. 5 years later, with the physical redemption of Zion still fresh in the collective saints' mind, Young addressed a conference of the church. In his discourse, he posed this rhetorical question. When are we going back to Jackson County? Answer, not until the Lord commands his people. And it is just as much as you and I can do to get ready to go when he does command us. The redemption of Zion continued to be an oft-quoted theme in church conferences for the next half century. For instance, 47 years later, at a meeting of church leaders held in the Salt Lake Temple, President Lorenzo Snow preached, quote, the time for returning to Jackson County is much nearer than many suppose, and it is the faithful that will be selected to go. In the years that followed the 1867 return to independence, the Church of Christ had yet to erect a meeting house on their site. They numbered less than 100 people and presumably lacked the resources to do so. However, at the April 1884 church conference, the members authorized the construction of a house of worship. However, the chapel was not completed until 1889. But this is the completed building with a posed group of saints out in front and is possibly the first photo taken that encompassed any part of the temple lot property. Another photo, a congregation meeting of the Church of Christ following a service. In February 1900, shortly after this photo would have been taken, Church of Christ elders George P. Frisbee and George D. Cole traveled to Salt Lake City and arranged a meeting with the presidency of the LDS Church. The elders stated, when they got their meeting, that they, quote, ought to take some steps towards placing the temple lot so it can be used for the purposes indicated in the Revelations, that is, building the millennial temple. After a brief follow-up visit a few days later, a much-anticipated third meeting was convened later in February. Elders Frisbee and Cole again expressed their feelings regarding the purpose of their visit and their trip, that is, to Salt Lake City, to a much larger audience of church officers. Afterwards, the Church of Christ elders were excused so that church authorities could counsel privately. President Snow instructed those present to speak freely about the proposed conference and the proposed temple project. However, Counselor George Q. Cannon spoke instead about the 63 acres purchased by Partridge in December 1831. This acquisition, he pointed out, included the 2.5 acre parcel then held by their church, Church of Christ. Quote, our hearts for years have inclined towards the center stake of Zion, Cannon stated. He then explained that President Taylor had created a fund for purchasing land in Jackson County and, quote, the predominant idea in his mind was to watch for a favorable opportunity to buy land in Independence. President Snow stated that his mind was, quote, tolerably clear in regard to the redemption of Zion. To purchase land as opportunity presented without creating excitement. Thereafter, it was concluded the LDS Church would not participate in the conference or the proposed temple project. The RLDS Church's first building in Independence was the Brick Church, built in 1879. However, the growing congregation dictated the purchase of a new site for a larger edifice. Property was acquired immediately and directly north of the Temple Lot property. By April 1892, the stone church was ready for occupancy. And here you can see the 1892 building recently completed and what it looks like today. The February 1900 meeting with the Church of Christ elders seems to have sparked new intensity by LDS church leaders to get on with the redemption of Zion. Only 3 months after that February meeting, the first presidency called James G. Duffin as mission president of the Southwestern States Mission, which encompassed the state of Missouri. Duffin, with obvious direction, moved the mission headquarters from Kansas to Jackson County in December 1900. During the next 3+ years, Duffin conducted a quiet search for property on the temple lot, and in April, he acquired the 26-acre parcel of which this view here is part of. It included 20 acres of the 25, that is, were from the original temple lot purchased by Partridge for $25,000. The money provided to Duffin for this acquisition came from a church fund established for Jackson County, for the Jackson County Temple, and to purchase land in Independence, Jackson County, Missouri, and for the redemption of Zion. Here are receipts dated 1904 and 1905. The one on the left hand written shows that the donation is for the Jackson County Temple Fund. The one on the right, pre-printed just a few months later and showing number 20, indicating there's 19 other people that have donated prior to this, shows that the donation is for Independence, Jackson County, Missouri, and the redemption of Zion. Samuel O'Banion replaced Duffin as Central States Mission President in 1906. The following year, Banion moved the church's mission home and office from Kansas City to Independence and to a recently acquired home located east of the temple. In 1912, ground was broken for the first LDS chapel, also on land purchased to the east of the temple lot property and close to the mission home. The $25,000 building was dedicated by President Joseph F. Smith in November 1914. And so the redemption of Zion does continue. While the physical presence of these three church organizations had well been established by the 1920s, the building of the prophesied temple was another matter. On February 4th, 1927, at his home in Port Huron, Michigan, Church of Christ Apostle Otto Fetting launched a dramatic effort toward building the prophesied millennial temple on the temple lot. That morning, Fetting reported a visitation by John the Baptist, wherein he was told, quote, "The revelation that was given for the building of the temple is true, and that the temple soon will be started." On March 22, 1928, Fetting announced another angelic visitation and accompanying message. He was told that the construction on the temple was to begin specifically in the year 1929 and was to be completed within 7 years. Once announced, the physical undertaking to build the temple would play a major role within the Church of Christ for many years to come. In accordance with the instructions given to envisioned to Fetting, an impressive groundbreaking ceremony was held on April the 6th, of course, 1929. Here, Church of Christ Bishop Alma O. Frisbee is shown with the spade ready to break ground as part of that ceremony. A Kansas City architectural firm was hired to develop sketches and a plan for the proposed edifice. And this is the design of what they came up with. However, for various reasons, the building on the temple never materialized beyond the foundation. For the next 7 years, they worked, but got only this much done. And in 1946, about 10 years later, the City of Independence offered to backfill at the city's expense the excavation site if the church would agree to it, which they readily did. Acquiring land for the temple in Jackson County was the and for the proposed temple, had been an ongoing function of the RLDS Church for many years. Prophet President Frederick M. Smith, in his April 6, 1926 conference address to the church, stated, quote, "And must I mention still before us the great task of building ultimately the temple to which we have all looked forward. I have not forgotten it." In 1942, Smith asked RLDS Church historian Samuel A. Burgess to look into whether the temple could be located upon another spot rather than the spot chosen by the Church of Christ and still be within the confines of the 63 acres. Burgess responded two weeks later and advised Smith that, quote, "Since no land was owned at the dedication, it would seem to me that north and west should be as much consecrated as south and east." Contrary to the position of the Church of Christ, he concluded, quote, "In other words, the exact spot is not known." Church of Christ, members of the RLDS Church rejoiced in 1968 when Prophet President W. Wallace Smith announced a revelation at the Church's World Conference, quote, "The time has come for a start to be made towards building my temple in the center place. It shall stand on a portion of the plot of ground set apart for that purpose many years ago by my servant Joseph Smith Jr. The site was selected in 1974. At the April 1984 World Conference, the long-awaited revelation setting the building process in motion was announced by Prophet President Wallace B. Smith. Quote, "The temple shall be dedicated to the pursuit of peace. Therefore, let the work of planning go forward, and let the resources be gathered in for the building of my temple." Here we have a picture of the temple under construction between the 1990 and 1994 period. The impressive edifice was dedicated April 17, 1994. The property purchased by the LDS Church in 1904 still remained undeveloped. After a second attempt by the City of Independence to purchase the property from the church, and the church, concerned about the reality of eminent domain, plans were quickly developed and approved for the present visitor center in 1967. The building was dedicated on May 31, 1971, by President Joseph Fielding Smith. Conclusion: perspectives on the three churches now and for the future. This is the drawing that was created after this portion had been annexed by the city back in the 1850s. This was prepared for the RLDS Church in the 1930s. It shows the lots that were so designated that we talked about. And also in the lower right corner is an area that was not put into lots. And that was the Swope property. And that is the area that was made available for the purchase by the LDS Church back in 1904. Almost from its inception, the Church of Christ, founded by Joseph Smith in April 1830, was imbued with a millenarian spirit. Initially, in response to his inquiry, he was told only that the city was on the borders by the Lamanites, meaning west of the state of Missouri. Initially, in response to his inquiry, he was told that Zion was on the borders by the Lamanites, meaning west of the state of Missouri, as I indicated. Smith traveled to western Missouri in the summer of 1831 with the anticipation of further enlightenment. Soon after his arrival, he was informed that the city of Zion was specifically situated in Jackson County, with the center place designated as the Village of Independence. Furthermore, he was told that the Millennial Temple was to be built upon a lot not far from the courthouse. For more than 2 years, an attempt was made by the church to establish the city of Zion. That effort came to a tragic end in November 1833, when the Saints were driven en masse out of Jackson County. The phrase "Zion shall be redeemed," specifically meaning a physical return to Jackson County, was first proclaimed by Smith in October 1833. With the reestablishment of a physical presence in Jackson County by the Church of Christ in 1867, the RLDS Church in 1877, and then in 1900 by the LDS Church, the redemption of Zion was undertaken in a most literal sense. However, today, little is said publicly of the redemption of Zion by any of the various branches of the restoration movement. This is a diagram prepared by a good friend, John Hamer, which kind of gives you a view of the temple lot property as we see it today. If you would go up to the upper right corner, center, you see a building that's in red. That is the Remnant Church headquarters, which is another schism of the church. And then we picture right there the Community of Christ temple, and immediately to its lower right, you see the LDS Visitor Center, moving across the Community of Christ Auditorium, and then moving back up the Church of Christ Temple Lot. Across the street from the Temple Lot property is the Stone Church, and then below that you can pick out where the Flournoy home is. Of the 63 and one quarter acres, ownership today is approximately 40.5 acres owned by the Community of Christ, 20 acres owned by the LDS Church, and 2.75 acres owned by the Church of Christ, thus making the total of 63 and a quarter. In 2004, historian and author Craig S. Campbell interviewed Church of Christ Apostle William Sheldon regarding rumors heard over the years that the LDS Church had offered a large sum of money for acreage owned by the Church of Christ. Sheldon told Campbell that at one time the LDS Church had, in fact, quote, offered us a blank check for the property. Beginning in 2005, I had the pleasure and opportunity to meet with Apostle Sheldon on many occasions. At one such meeting, I asked him, quote, what amount would it take for the Church of Christ to sell the Temple Lot property to anybody? His answer, quote, you could offer us $1 million or a postage stamp. We would take neither. On another occasion, I asked Sheldon a question regarding their church's position on trying again to build the Millennial Temple on their property. He replied, quote, the temple was not a core objective of the church today. He replied again that it was their sacred duty to not only be the custodian of the Temple Lot property, but additionally, and more importantly, the spiritual custodian of the Kingdom of God. The Community of Christ, the change of name from the RLDS Church in 2001, took place in accordance with the revelation, in summary here, given to Prophet President W. Wallace Smith, quote, a plot of ground set apart by my servant Joseph Smith Jr. was selected for the building of my temple in the center place. At the time of the groundbreaking ceremony in 1990, Prophet President Wallace B. Smith clarified to a reporter, quote, we are not building our temple as a means of signaling the second coming. The RLDS Church produced a brochure in 1978 titled The Temple, Ensign of Peace. One of the pages is headed The Dream is Now, Purposes of the Temple. The opening comment states simply, the temple will stand as a symbol of life's deepest and truest meanings, as an architectural symbol revealing the contemporary meaning of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Of the several statements listed, there is no comment regarding the millennium or the New Jerusalem. In a related comment, Campbell stated, quote, the RLDS Church in the 20th century has reversed direction from a millenarian and literal theology towards a more diverse non-millennial doctrinal atmosphere. While other Latter-day Saints groups have had difficulty sanctifying space and independence, in many ways, the non-millennialization of the Temple Lot property is the opposite. During the past 50 or 60 years, little has been said, as I mentioned, by anybody regarding the Temple Lot, including the LDS Church, and in particular the redemption of Zion, the city of the New Jerusalem, or the Millennial Temple. But perhaps the most published commentary on the subjects relating to the city of the New Jerusalem and the Millennial Temple are found in Bruce R. McConkie's Mormon Doctrine, which appeared in 1958. McConkie stated that, quote, the city of New Jerusalem will be built on the American continent. He continued, it is to be built by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and Jackson County, Missouri is the spot designated by Revelation. As part of the United States 1976 bicentennial fervor, the church published the great prologue. Author and apostle Mark E. Peterson wrote that the culmination of America's divine calling would occur when, quote, the great modern city of New Jerusalem will be built in Jackson County, Missouri. Interestingly, only 3 years later, in 1979, the LDS Church quietly edited the 10th Article of Faith. Prior to this date, the 10th Article of Faith stated that Zion will be built upon this, the American continent. Beginning with the 1979 publication of the Scriptures, the 10th Article of Faith now reads that Zion, the New Jerusalem, will be built upon the American continent. Some may dismiss this rewording as simply more than a simple clarification. However, the fact that the name of the millennial city of New Jerusalem was added to the language specifically and shortly after the publication of the Great Prologue certainly signified that the church had not distanced itself from the early revelations given to the prophet Joseph Smith. Rather, the church subtly added significance to this tenet of basic belief. In October 2008, nearly 40 years after the dedication of the Visitor Center, and to meet the needs of the growing church membership in the surrounding three-state area, the church announced plans to construct a temple in Kansas City vicinity. An impressive dedication ceremony occurred in May 2012. The physical location of the temple, however, is situated in Clay County, about 12 miles north of Independence. Perhaps to allay membership concerns, postulating that the millennium was at hand, the church may have deliberately chosen an alternative location for this temple, rather than utilizing the acreage purchased in 1904. Final thought. What else is required? And perhaps most importantly, what further direction will be forthcoming regarding the millennial temple and the city of the New Jerusalem? Regarding the ultimate fulfillment implied in the adage, redemption of Zion, perhaps the statement of Church of Christ Apostle William Sheldon is applicable to all of the expressions of the restoration. He said, quote, "We will simply await the Lord's direction," end quote. His thoughts are similar to those of LDS Bruce R. McConkie, who wrote, referring to the Millennial Temple, quote, "It shall be built when the Lord directs." One thing is for certain about the future of the center place of Zion. The Lord said, quote, "There is no other place appointed than that which I have appointed. Neither shall there be any other place appointed than that which I have appointed for the work of the gathering of my saints." Thank you very much.
We received no questions about your presentation today. I did have one question that I'd like to ask you about it. I had been told that when asked what price they would be willing to sell the property for the temple lot, they said at no price, no matter how much you pay us, we will not sell it to you. Is that about?
Yeah, as I mentioned, when I asked Elder or Apostle Sheldon that question, you could offer us $1 million or a postage stamp. We wouldn't take either. In other words, it's a done deal. There's no way that.
No, even if they offered $1 billion.
As of this point in time, their position is firm. They'll wait the Lord's direction.
And at the point that the Lord directs, they will probably feel an inclination to sell.
Yeah.
My wife, who visited the temple lot many years ago, met with one of the apostles, who probably is no longer among the living. And the apostle said to her that they were just waiting to sell, to pass on the property to the church. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is that something that is widely believed or held?
Not to my knowledge, and I've had a lot of association with the people in the church. I was hoping that Apostle Sheldon would be able to provide me a little more information, because I talked to him on many occasions, probably over a period of 10, 12 years. And we became very good friends, but never an indication that they'd move from that spot.
Some of the beliefs of the Church of Christ are in direct contradiction to the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And among, not necessarily about the temple, but perhaps about the prophetic calling of Joseph Smith.
The Church of Christ takes the position that with the call for the redemption of Zion in 1834, Joseph Smith became a fallen prophet. So that's their separating point.
Mm-hmm. How about the Book of Mormon?
They are right down the line on the Book of Mormon. I've sat in many, many Sunday school classes, and it wasn't any different than sitting in a gospel doctrine class in the LDS church. Yeah.